What a wonderful thought that is that we have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a friend we have in the Lord. When troubles arise and difficulties come our way, and then we have someone that we can call upon, and he is a dear friend that we can rely upon his answer, that everything will be well for the believer. If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and we'll be reading beginning in verse number 8. I'll read a few verses here, and then we'll be reading some in Isaiah. And tonight I want us to look upon these things concerning good and evil. And I'm glad we do have a friend in the Lord that helps us in evil times. And certainly we are living in evil times, difficult days, and in case you are not aware of it, it's not going to get any better. Where we are right now probably is the best that we'll have it, because the Lord tells us things are going to continue to wax worse and worse, and we're seeing the beginning of a lot of things. But I'm glad He is faithful, and He'll help His own children. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, these first few verses tell us how that we are to act and conduct ourselves among those that do evil with us and problems that come to us, how that we are to answer that, how we're to act in that situation. He tells us in verse number 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing." Instead of having evil for evil, and instead of having the railings or the accusations, then on the other side, we are to be those that are full of blessings. Knowing, there in verse 9, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. In our study with the book of Job, we found that Job was a man that escheweth evil. That just simply means he turned aside from it. He would not have it in his possession. And so here the Scripture tells us that we're to do the same thing with evil and do good. Let him that seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Here the Apostle Peter is telling the believer that it's inevitable that you're going to suffer. There's no one that is going to escape some type of persecution, some type of suffering, and therefore we will respond to that. When someone comes against us, there's always the response. And here, Peter tells us that we're not to render evil for evil, or we're not to answer evil things with an evil answer. Those that make accusations or railings against us, he tells us that we are to be using blessings for that. We are to turn aside from evil, and we're to ensure or we're to pursue peace and look for those things that God can give us. Verse number 12 is an encouraging verse here. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now here's two groups of people, and the Lord's dealing with both of them. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. But then he tells us also that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So here's two groups of people God's going to watch after and God's going to take care of, the believer or the righteous, and then His face against those that are doing evil. And He goes now in these next few verses and tells us about how to give an answer. Now, everyone should be ready to give an answer. Verse 15, for the hope that is within us, we are to answer that with meekness and with fear and having a good conscience and those things in our life that we are serving the Lord. And then that last statement here says, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil. It is better that if we're going to suffer, may we suffer for doing right and not doing evil. If we're going to suffer, when suffering comes, then may it be because of those that are against us and because of we're living and serving God righteously and correctly, may we suffer for that reason rather for doing evil and answering their evil with evil. And so the world is full of those two groups, the good and the evil, the righteous, the unrighteous, the just and the unjust, and the wicked and the righteous. Those are the groups that are in this world, and it seemingly many, many times has been that the ones that are evil are the ones that are in control, and a lot of times it is that way. And they begin to call good evil and evil good, and the book of Isaiah tells us about that. Turn, if you would, back to Isaiah chapter number 5, and he gives us some verses here concerning that particular thing. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, right in the middle here, if we was to take time, we could really spend most of our time right here in chapter 5. There are woes against Israel. And verse number 8 says, woe unto them. Verse number 9, verse 11, woe unto them. Verse number 18, woe unto them. Verse 22 and verse 21. And then verse number 20, the one that we're going to look at, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The Scripture says, Isaiah tells us, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them that call something that's bitter sweet and something that's sweet calls it bitter. And there's many examples of good being called evil in our society. We could take many, many things tonight of that which is good and righteous and wholesome and holy. And the world looks at it and tells us that it's ungodly and tells us it's wrong and tells us that we should not do it. For instance, the world now and society tells us that it's okay to be a Christian as long as you leave it on the inside of your building and don't go outside your doors and try to convince someone to be a Christian. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we have the command or the commission of God to do that. But the world says, no, that's not right. That's evil. You ought not to get somebody out of their ways, and you ought not to get them out of their way of life and just leave them alone because they're all right. But the Scripture says, don't leave them alone. The Scripture says, go after them and try to get them to know the Lord. And so the world says it's wrong to do that, and God says it's right. So they're calling what is right, calling it good. We have in our society, if you speak of God or you speak of Christ or you speak of anything that is of the religious nature, out in the open, you're looked upon and you're looked down upon that you should not do that. It has even come in the last few years that you don't even say Merry Christmas. It's just something that's not right to do. And so they're calling good things wrong and calling wrong things good. And example after example, evil is called good. A lot of times people will say, well, it's okay to to destroy the unborn. It's all right to do that. That's calling wickedness. That's calling it good. And the Bible says, woe unto that man, woe unto that person that calls evil good and good evil. And homosexuality and all the things that we have bombarding us continually that we know is wrong and we know is sinful, but the world says, oh, but it's okay. It's fine to do that. Woe unto that world and woe unto that society. Or woe unto that person. This last election in Oklahoma, there was an agenda, a referendum to be voted and was voted upon to make Islamic law illegal in that state, and now they've overturned and they've put a stay on that. The Sharia law says it's all right for Islamic man to beat his wife and even to kill her if she even looks at someone in a wrong way or that he doesn't like, and it's all right for him to abuse his children, and under Sharia law that can be fine. The world says that's good, and God says it's wicked and evil and sinful. And so we're dealing with a world that is totally in opposition to the things that we know are correct, and so we are understandably under the gun. And I believe we will be more and more as time goes on and these things become accepted. Who would have thought just a few years ago that these things that we're talking about now would even be acceptable in our country? But now they're acceptable. Now they're used and are given to us as right. And so good is being called evil. When does that happen? How does that take place? How does it happen that evil is called good? Common sense ought to tell you that killing someone is not good. Common sense ought to tell you that these things that we're seeing in our society that are wicked and destroying our country, all of a sudden now you can't even not even supposed to say under God in the pledge. I mean, there's a movement to try to get that out, and you'd be surprised how quick that'll take place. I heard today that there's a school system out somewhere that when they say the pledge, they only say the first line of it. Just the first line. Well, the pledge means we're patriotic. And all of a sudden, patriotism is under fire, that if you are a patriot, you're something wrong with you, and there's a problem, and you're a racist of some kind, and you're a hater, and you're a wicked person. Well, the Scripture doesn't say that. I believe the people of Israel are very nationalistic people and have always been. And God has given them that. And God gives nations that love of their country and love of their flag. Some of the news media won't even let their anchors put the American flag on because it might insult someone. Well, too bad. Good, evil. Evil, good. And so Peter tells us here that when that takes place, we do not render evil for evil. We do not render railing for railing. But contrariwise, or on the other hand, we render blessings. We're to be people that love the Lord and love peace and love the things that God has given to us. When does good become evil in the minds of people? And when does evil become good in the minds of people? Well, number one, that takes place when the devil is in control. When he has leeway. Now, don't get me wrong, the devil has always had a lot of control. The Bible tells us that he is the prince and the power of the air. The Bible tells us he's the god of this world, and so he has a kingdom, and therefore he wants his kingdom to bow to him. He is a ruthless leader. And when he's in control of things, then those are times when good is called evil. And when evil is called good, because he is in total opposition to the things of the Lord. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 2, just a few pages over from where we was reading. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." So there has been, and Peter says, there shall be false teachers or false prophets among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I've heard people here lately make statements concerning their relationship with the Lord and how that God doesn't want us to destroy and to kill, and the news media makes heyday out of them. I mean, they make them sound like they're archaic, somewhere out of the dark ages that knows nothing and uneducated idiots. But the Bible says that's what shall be in the last days. And so when the devil's in control, those that will accuse us, the Bible says here they are full of damnable heresies. That means that's teachings. Heresy, all that heresy is false teaching. And so here these folks are, they have teachings that are false, and they will damn the souls of men and women to hell without God under the guise or the disguise of religion. And that has always been the case, and it will be until Jesus establishes His throne and His kingdom and sets up His rule and reign. And so as long as the devil's in control, good is going to be called wicked, and evil is going to be called good. Just a total opposite. When Satan has control, when the devil is in control, when he has control of government, when he has control of all the things, and brother, he's got control of it. Our old world is tottering and reeling to and fro. We have, as peoples of the world, have had so many things given to them. They've just come out today with what needs to be done in order to balance our budget and cut the deficit. First thing should have done is not spent all that money they didn't have. And now they're printing money to take care of it, and that makes your money less worth less and less all the time. And so now they come out with a commission and says, here's where we got to cut. Well, you know where they're going to cut or where they always bring it up to. And so here they're going to make the laws where a person has to work longer and tax more, and where that those that are on Social Security no longer gets their raises like have been all through the year. They're just cutting and cutting and cutting just to balance a budget that is so totally out of control that in just a few, I almost said years, it's not going to take that long. In just a little while, we're going to see a collapse of a country that has no stability at all because we've called good evil and evil good so long that we don't know truth. Truth is evil spoken of. Somebody said, well, that scares me. It ought to scare us. It ought to get our attention to realize that God in His Word has told us that He will bring judgment upon unrighteousness. And I believe we will see that very soon. And so we find that the Scripture gives us times when people have been in control that's ungodly, and how that God judged them. Prime example, 1 Kings chapter 18 gives us the story of Elijah and Ahab. Well, Ahab says when he meets Elijah, he said, you're the one that troubles Israel. No, it wasn't Elijah troubling Israel. It was Ahab. But evil called good evil. Elijah is the man of God. Elijah has the message. Elijah has the message from God. And old Ahab, that wicked king, he said, you're the one troubling us. No, what it was, he wasn't giving him the report that he wanted. A lot of times, our political system doesn't give the report they want, so they just change it to make what they want. You're the one troubling Israel. And Elijah said, no, it's not me. There in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. Elijah was pretty strong in his words. He's talking to the king now. He said, I'm not the one that's troubled Israel, but you have, but thou, and thy father's house, and in that ye have forsaken. Here's the problem. They have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam, or followed false idols and false doctrine, false teachers. As it happened in the government of Israel back there almost 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, so is it happening in our world today. Calling evil good, good evil, following our own way. When the devil's in control, you can rest assured that's the society that we live in. When the devil's in control, that's the way governments are. And I dare say you can find, I believe we'd be hard-pressed to find a, I'm not talking about righteousness now, I'm talking about honesty. I believe we'd be hard-pressed to find an honest government on the face of God's green earth. Because men are eat up with their greed. They want what they can get. They want it at the expense of anyone else. And the elitists and those that have it all, they want more. And those of us that don't have, they make sure we don't get. That's wickedness. That's the society in which we live. When is good called evil and evil called good? Not only when the devil's in control, but when people have no character. When people have no character. I can remember, and I'm sure those of you that are older than I am, can remember when people, even though they wasn't Christians, they had character. Even though they didn't go to church, they maybe didn't know anything about God, and they didn't want to know anything about God, but when they told you something, what they said was their bond. That's called character. Not everybody has to be a Christian to have character. I believe all Christians ought to have character. But there are some lost people that down through history has had some character. When they said something, they believed and they stood by what they said. And no matter what happened, this is what I said. I shook my hand on that. That was my bond. That's my word. And I'll live by it. Now today, you have to have five lawyers to draw up papers to make sure everybody lives by what they say they're going to do. And if you're not careful, you get a lawyer that's not what he ought to be, and they can get you anyway. No character. Someone says, what is character? Character is what you are. Not what people think you are, it's what you are. Character is what you'll do in the dark when nobody's watching and do right. Character is living right, living for the things that are holy. But when people have no character, then good is called evil, and evil is called good, because nobody has any bond. Nobody's word is worth anything. Another thing is takes place is when there's no voice crying against sin. When the voice of righteousness is quiet, then there is no stopgap against unrighteousness. There's no wall. There's no petition. There's nothing that has built up against ungodliness, and it just overwhelms. Look in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 9. I have these verses underlined. They're very familiar verses. Here Isaiah is talking about his own people. We notice last Sunday night about Isaiah's life. He tells us in chapter 1 that he's a prophet in the midst of rebellious people. And now he uses again the same words. He says, and this is a rebellious people, verse 9, chapter 30, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. Why, whatever's happening over there, just don't see that. Don't look that way. Don't look at the problem. Maybe it'll go away. So they say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. And then he says, prophesy deceits. When people, when there is no voice crying against sin, then ungodliness will prevail, and righteousness is called evil. There's no one standing against the ungodliness of society. And I'll tell you, we don't have many today standing against it. Oh, I know we've got our multi-million-dollar stadiums that are filled with people. I know we have our church buildings. I'm almost leery to call them church buildings. They're places where people gather, and there's nothing preached there. I know we have all those things that are generating multitudes of dollars and multitudes of power, but they're not standing against sin. Oh, they can put on the front. Had a fellow call me yesterday. He is all upset. I've never met the man, and I don't know why he has to call me. And so he called me and said, we built a new building and we've done all this. And we're growing by leaps and bounds. He said, but it's by junky music and junky preaching. Ooh, I said, I don't know you, sir. And I sure don't know your preacher. But there's no one standing in the gap. There's no one standing and proclaiming what is righteous and what is unrighteous because we're so afraid that somebody's going to say something or do something or bring lawsuit or throw us in jail. And that's possible. I never thought I'd have said that as a preacher. When I first started preaching, I never thought about being thrown in jail, but it comes across your mind every once in a while now because we're not preaching what the world wants to hear. Don't prophesy truth. Give to us smooth things. New Testament says, teachers having itching ears or tingling ears, wanting to hear what they want to hear. Don't see over there what's taking place. Just brush it away. Don't say anything against it because that'll make you unpopular. Don't do anything because that's all not the way it ought to be. We're in a more educated society now, so that ought not take place. We're getting better. Good is called evil, and evil is called good when no one stands against sin. I don't know, I'm sure there are some, but off the top of my head, I don't know of anyone that has national notoriety that's standing against ungodliness. Now, you can say what you want to against some folks that's done things and been in that position, but at least there have been some that would stand up against the tide. I wasn't a lover of everything that Jerry Falwell did, but at least he had some morality and some things, and he didn't care to say it, and he didn't care to stand on it. And when he passed off the scene, I said that next day, I said, we have nobody to speak for us. And we don't have. I mean, who is a preacher now that will stand against abortion like some have in the past? They're not there. It's a lost cause. Why fight the battle? It's over. Well, that's how good is called evil, and evil is called good because we give up. God never tells us to give up. God tells us to go straight and go forward. When there's no one voice, no one crying, no voice crying against sin. And then lastly, I didn't have a long sermon, that's it. Sometimes I have 7 pages, sometimes I have half page. I just jot these things down. Evil shall be called good and good shall be called evil as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord. We ought not be too surprised about it. He's told us in here. He's told us this is what's going to happen. He's revealed to us that wickedness is going to prevail and ungodliness is going to be. And as we see the day approaching, so much the more, the Bible says, we look at that, we realize that we're in the time of the coming of the Lord. I don't know when He's coming. I really thought it should have been yesterday. I don't know when He's coming, but He's coming. And until He does come, it's not going to get any better. I know everybody went to the polls last Tuesday and everybody voted and they got rid of some scum, put some more in probably. Just take them a little while to find out they got it. Our deliverance is not in politics. Now, I love politics. And I can get with it. I like it. If I hadn't been a preacher, I'd probably been a scum. God delivered me, I guess. I love politics. I don't like a lot of politicians, but I like the workings of government if it works right. But boy, I tell you, this junk we're having now. And as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, we might as well buckle down and put our seatbelt on because the ride is going to get rough. And I've said this a lot here lately, we have always rejoiced and we have sung the songs that we would be living when Jesus comes. But I'll tell you what, it may not be so much fun before He comes. Because I believe right now we are living in what I call the conditioning period for the tribulation. People are getting ready. The world is getting ready for somebody to come with all the answers. You hear more and more about New World Order. And I've heard this since 1970. I've heard all these. But you see it more now than ever before. There is going to be a new world order. And there's going to be a world power. And there's going to be a world man. And his name, I know not who he is, but I know what the Scripture calls him, Antichrist. But I know where I'm going to be when that takes place. But until he comes on the scene, but it can be rough. It can be bad. And I'm not an alarmist, and I'm not trying to alarm people, but I believe we ought to be realists and understand what Jesus said in His Word. When you see these things begin to happen, look up. He was talking to the Jew. I mean, we bring it over to a Gentile thought process, but He was talking to the Jew. He said, when you see these things begin to happen, know your redemption draweth nigh. You and I today, when we see these things begin to happen, and we're seeing them, we better lift our eyes up. And as we lift our eyes up, we should rejoice. And we should be like John, even so come, Lord Jesus. As he ends out the book of Revelation, he uses those words, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we read that and we rejoice at that. But I'll tell you what, John was wanting to get out of the old prison island that he was on, and the despair that he was in, and the trouble that he was under, and the pressures that was there. He said, even so, come, Lord, get me out of this. It wasn't a joyous thing that John was saying there. He was wanting out of the prison island that he's on. And he had seen it unfold before his eyes. He had seen it all happen. And he writes it down, and he says, come. And as we see it work out before us, and we see these things begin to happen, I believe we ought to say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May we ever be faithful and true until He does that. It's not easy. It's not easy for folks to look at you and say, you just don't understand. It's not easy for people to mock what you believe. It's not easy for them to snicker behind your back. We're to stand. If we don't stand, who's going to do it? If you don't stand, if I don't stand, who's going to do it? Well, there'll be somebody. Because he's going to find faith when he comes. He asked the question, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes again? He will find faith. But it may be scattered few and far between. I'm afraid the rapture is not going to disturb as many people as we think it will. I have a old, what is it, 78 record called Flight Final. That thing was made back in, I don't know, late 60s. And it's an enacting of the rapture. And everything just gets in chaotic problems because everybody's missing. I just don't believe it's going to be that way. I don't believe it's going to be that many to disturb the world. And you know what? There's going to be some churches not disturbed too much. A lot of people don't understand that statement, but there's just a lot of people in churches, they've signed a card and they've gone through the baptismal waters, but they haven't done anything. They've never really met the Lord. And if you haven't met the Lord, you're not going to be too disturbed by the rapture. You'll believe a lie. But anyway, good is called evil. Evil is called good. Really and truly, when Satan's in control and believers don't stand. And as we come closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, we'll see it more and more. May God help us to be strong. May God help us to have a vision, to realize what's truth. And as we read in our text, if we're going to suffer, let's suffer for doing right. Don't suffer for doing evil. If we're going to suffer anyway, at least suffer for being right and serving righteousness. Let's stand together tonight. May